It's been a blessing to be here with you, everyone, this morning. And if you're visiting with us, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. And we want to extend an invitation to you. We want you to be a part of this spiritual family. God wants you to be a part of this spiritual family. As Brother Jeff prayed, we're not perfect. We don't always follow Jesus like we should. We don't always do the things we should, but we're striving to do God's will, and we need encouragement from one another, and we need your help, and we want to help you. And so if you're not a Christian, in a few minutes we'll be standing singing a song we call a song of encouragement. And if you want to decide to put Jesus on as your Lord and Savior in baptism, if you want to give your heart and life to him, we're here to help you for that. Or maybe you already are a Christian and you just need prayers, you know, you just of encouragement, or you just want to come and offer a prayer of thanksgiving. We're here to support you, and when we stand and sing this song, we'll ask you to come forward at that time. But I want to share with you just briefly how to become a Christian. I'm talking about, because we're inviting you to come forward to become a Christian if you're not already, but it's kind of like, well, what does that mean and what does that entail? And so briefly, I'll just mention a few things. We won't elaborate on it today. But first of all, you need to have faith that Jesus is God, that he's the Christ who came to earth to die on the cross and was raised on the third day to take away our sins. So it's essential that you believe that Jesus is God who came here to dwell among us, to sacrifice himself for us, to save us from our sins, to cover us with his blood so that we can live with him forever. And that's the good news, that in spite of the fact that we are not worthy, but through his blood, we're made worthy, we're purified, we're made holy. And the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2. And that faith is our response. The Bible also teaches that in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says the devils believe and tremble. So we're not talking about just an academic faith. We're talking about a faith of complete trust. I trust that the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice is sufficient to have my sins forgiven and so I can become a child of God. Now, if you really believe that, there's a response, a faith response. It's not works. Sometimes people confuse these things, thinking, oh, no, but it's just we're saved by faith. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith, but the faith response then, not only that we acknowledge that, but we repent of a life of not putting Jesus first place in our lives. You know, sometimes people think, well, I'm not a bad person. You know, I've never killed anybody. I pay my taxes. I don't bother people. You know, I'm a decent person. Most people, and that's good. But the fact that when we don't put Jesus first in our lives, that's the worst sin we could commit. And so the Bible teaches, and we know from experience, that we're all sinners. We've all done things and said things and thought things that we shouldn't. And so we're guilty of the blood of Jesus. So we if we really believe, then we'll the Bible sometimes calls it, we'll be born again. We'll make that decision to leave behind an old life of sin. And from here forward, I'm going to let Jesus be the Lord of my life. And then, of course, if you make that decision, you need to confess that publicly. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father's in heaven. And then if upon that confession, you should be baptized in order to be united with Christ, to have your sins forgiven, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there again, some people kind of have a wrong idea about baptism. Oh, no, you know, it's not necessary for salvation because it's a work, but it's not a work. It's nothing that you do. It's done to you. It's a faith response. It's proof of your faith. And the Bible says that it's a burial, and that in, just as Jesus was buried and raised, you'll be raised to walk in a newness of life. And if you look in the Bible, everybody, the baptism is the point that you're covered with the blood of Jesus. It's the moment. It's your wedding ceremony to Jesus. So that's just a kind of a really brief explanation of how to become a Christian. You believe that Jesus is God who came in the flesh. He died for you. You repent of your sins, of not putting Jesus first. You make that decision to walk in the light of God's Word. And then you confess publicly that Jesus is Lord, and I believe that He's God. And then, of course, you need to be baptized and to have your sins washed away. It's not the water. It's the blood of Jesus that washes your sins. But it's at that moment that His blood, you come in contact with His blood. Okay? All right. Now, after you become a Christian, you think, well, what should I do? You know, well, you need to live a good, happy life. Okay? And now, sometimes people kind of think, well, living a happy life means, you know, like, you get a new Corvette or something, and you know, you go out and party and just have fun, you know. But let's talk about this. God wants you to be happy, okay? But it's be happy, truly happy. The way that makes us happy is when we follow His Word, when we're at peace with God. As a matter of fact, the Bible, the word happy occurs a lot of times in the Bible. But sometimes it's translated, instead of happy, it's translated blessed. You know, we talk about the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who mourn, shall they be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And so that word blessed really could be translated just as well as happy. So you think, well, how could I be happy if I'm mourning, if I'm being persecuted? That doesn't sound right. But the truth is that when we're walking in the light, when we're at peace with God, when we're covered with the blood of Jesus, it doesn't matter what happens to us in this life, everything's going to be okay. Jesus has already won the victory for us. And so God wants you to be happy, but to be truly, truly happy in His way, okay? Happiness doesn't come from money, power, talent, or fame. Now, I'm not wanting to trash this couple here, Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen. They're an example of so many people that go through the same thing, okay? But how could you find a couple with more money? She's estimated worth of $400 million, one of the top, or the top model in the last 20 years, and he's estimated worth of $250 million. He's the greatest quarterback that's ever played the history of the NFL, okay? So we've got this couple here, they've been married for 13 years, and all of a sudden, out of the blue that we have heard about, they've got a quick divorce. Money, power, talent, and fame doesn't bring true happiness, okay? So what does? Well, it's being thankful to God is the path to true happiness. When you're thankful for things, okay? If you're not grateful, if you're not thankful, you'll never be happy. You'll be a spoiled child. You've got everything, but nothing satisfies you. It's not good enough. Nothing is ever good enough. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians. I want to read, we're going to see several passages about the importance of being thankful. But this first one here is from 1 Timothy chapter 5, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read verses 16, 17, and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. The Bible says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you can't do anything. You can't go to a ball game, or you can't stop and have lunch or go visit your grandmother. No, just your constant mental connection with God, okay? Instead of talking to yourself, talk to God. Be conversing with Him about everything, thanking Him for, you see something beautiful along the way, a beautiful sky. Yesterday it was cold, but we had beautiful sunshine. And it was so beautiful to see everybody working together and helping people that needed help. And then we had our fall festival in the afternoon, and people sacrificed their time and brought chili and pies, and just it was a great time. So there's so much to be thankful for. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And in verse 18 he says, give thanks in all circumstances, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So how can you be thankful for everything? Well, in James chapter 1, he says we should be thankful even for trials that come upon us, problems, difficulties, situations that are hard, because it makes us to seek out God's help. It makes us to look up to God. And when he blesses us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, with the help that we get from God, God is going to use us to help other people who are going through the same problems that you're going through. So we can be thankful as Christians for everything, not for the problems, but we can be thankful that as Christians we know that our victory has been won. Jesus has made us more than conquerors. Our home in heaven is guaranteed and reserved for us. So being thankful is so important. What happens too often is when we look at our lives, we look at what others have that we don't. We're always looking up at someone maybe that's wealthier or has more talent or is more popular or whatever. We're always looking to people that have more than we have. But we forget to look back and see all the people that don't have near as much as we do. My father always taught us the saying growing up, trying to teach us to be thankful for what we had. He said about a man who said he was so upset that he didn't have shoes until he saw a man who didn't have feet. You know, so if we can quit comparing ourselves and our life and our country to utopia, which doesn't really exist. You know, some people watch things or see things on social media, and it's actually proven that it causes a lot of depression. A lot of people get depressed because they're always on social media, which it appears like these people have perfect lives, and I don't. Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen are perfect examples. You would think that couple has it all. And yet, you know the strife and struggles and the heartaches and the pain that led up to their divorce. It wasn't just everything was wonderful and then all of a sudden, let's get a divorce today. So don't be looking at people that maybe have more in your eyes, but be thankful what you have, because certainly there's many, many people that don't have near as much as we do. They have saying that there's some close to 5 million people that have invaded our southern border over the last 2 years. Do you know what those people go through to get here? Probably one of the worst things is that they have to pay between $5,000 and maybe $10,000 to these drug lords that smuggle them across. And if they don't pay that money, they don't get across. It's a mafia. It's a gangs. And then sometimes they'll get the money from the family. The family might sell something, hoping for a better life for their other family members. And they get here, and then they're held up, kidnapped, and say, no, you got to send another $5,000. And these people come across and they're deprived of family, maybe, and fathers may leave their children behind, their wives. It's mostly young men that are coming, but they're coming for a better life that they have been dreaming about. They see in America, we have so much. Yet sometimes we're not thankful for what we have. Okay, I want to look at a series of verses here that talk about the importance of being thankful. First of all, Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So God wants you to open your hearts up to Him. If you're having struggles, if you're having stress, anxiousness, pray to Him. But at the same time, don't forget about His blessings. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. So pray to God. Thank God for this church. We're not perfect, but we're growing in our love to God and for one another. First Chronicles says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And that's what we're doing here. That's what our worship is all about, is giving thanks to God and expressing our love and gratitude to Him. Colossians 3 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And then one of the reasons we sing, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So our songs that we sing here is to teach one another, to encourage one another, but also an expression of thankfulness to God. And then whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Well, there's a lot of more verses we could read, but in summary, a thankful heart is a happy heart. If you're not a thankful person, if you're not looking, if you're not trying to be thankful, looking for the blessings in every situation, you'll never be happy. But if you want to truly be happy, which we all do, there's no one that doesn't want to be happy. But you need to develop a thankful heart. See God's blessing. See God's hand blessing you in your life. Okay, quickly to finish this morning, I want to share 10 things. Sounds like a lot, but I will go quickly. But with some of the things which I'm thankful for, and there's a lot more than these 10 things I want to share with you this morning. And hopefully it'll stimulate you to think about some of the things in your life that you're thankful for. Maybe it'll be some of these very things or other things certainly that I haven't mentioned. Number one, I'm thankful that I can walk. That sounds, you know, there was a man in the Bible that 38 years hadn't walked, and when Jesus healed him, he got up and praised God. He was thankful. In 1989, I was playing soccer at our church camp, the married guys against the single guys, and I went to make a goal, had my legs stuck out there, and this goalie comes flying out there, a big guy, but it had just started raining, so the grass was wet, and when he went out to block it, he just slid right into my knee, and my ACL and my lateral ligaments just all went to pieces. The doctor who operated on me was the doctor for the Brazilian All-Star soccer team. He was from our city, and he said it was the second worst accident he had ever seen in the knee situation. So it was painful and horrible, and I had to wear a cast normally, you know, for a while, but then my leg got locked up in a 45-degree angle, and nothing would make it bend, and so he had to put me back in the hospital and put me to sleep and bend it by force. And then I woke up, and he had me on the exercise bicycle and had to do physical therapy, and it still didn't move much, and I would have just all kinds of things. And I remember one day it moved just all of a sudden about an inch, and I started crying. I was so happy. And I thought, if I could just walk after this, I'd be happy. Well, God's blessed me. 2 years later, finally, I was able to actually start jogging. And today, I exercise pretty regularly. I can run as old and fluffy as I am. I can still run quite a bit, you know. So I'm thankful I can walk. I'm also thankful I have enough money to support myself, my wife, and even contribute financially here and other places. You know, not everybody can say that. And I know there's a blessing in not having too much money. Proverbs chapter 30 says, Lord, give me enough money so I don't steal, but not too much so I don't forget you. And God, pretty much everybody, all of us, we have what we need, not always what we want, but it's a blessing because these people have so much money that, you know, if you find a new pair of tennis shoes on sale, a good price, and good, you could really be happy. But some people are so wealthy, they could buy the whole factory and they're not pleased at all. So I'm thankful that I have enough money to support our family and to contribute and with other people. Number three, I'm thankful I have a loving wife and a wonderful, loving family and a wonderful church family. You know, I could just go on and on and on about this. But what a blessing to have family. We don't always appreciate our families and are not as thankful for our families as we should. Our families aren't perfect, just as this church family is not perfect. But we can love one another with the grace of God. We can live wonderful lives. I think about Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen. Are they going to be happier now that they're divorced? Will they be happier? No, they're just rearranging their problems, their anger. Maybe resentment will get worse. So be thankful for your family, as imperfect it may be, but be thankful. Number four, I'm thankful I can talk. Some of you might not be so thankful that I can talk, but I've told you many times about Ademan Araújo. He's a brother in Christ, a man that I baptized many years ago. But May 31st, 1979, on his wedding anniversary, he was an interstate bus driver, and he coming back from another state, coming home, and a drunk truck driver hit him, and people died on the bus, and he lost part of his leg, became crippled, lost his eyesight. They gave him too much anesthesia, they figure, and he can't, he's just almost paralyzed. He can't hardly talk. You don't understand. His mind's perfect, but to understand him, I've spent hours and hours and hours with him, and I can't always understand everything he says. Sometimes some of his family members can translate. Sometimes we have to ask him again. And he said to me, Gates, he said, you know, if God would bless me, if I could have any one thing, my eyesight or be able to walk or feed myself or talk, if I only could choose one of these things, what I would choose is to be able to talk plainly so people can understand me. You know, because we need to express ourselves. We need to be able to, the ability to share the gospel with other people, you know. We need to be able to tell our feelings. We need to be able to encourage others. So talking is a blessing, something we may just take for granted. Number five, I'm thankful that I have a brain that functions. Now, sometimes it doesn't function as well as it should. The older we get, I forget things, put things in the wrong place and stuff. But you know, there's a lot of people that don't know who their spouse is anymore. You know, a lot of people don't know who their children are anymore. They just can't remember them. They just forget. And I'm thankful I have a brain that functions and I can do what I need to do. Number six, I'm thankful I have a warm and comfortable house. When I was down in Brazil, you would see people just living anywhere, and still to this day, anywhere they can find under a bridge. Thankfully, it's not cold, so they can live outside and just on a sidewalk or whatever. But they would say to me, you know, in the States, you have homeless people too. And I said, no, not in the United States. Came back here, we do. We in Lebanon, we have people here that don't have a place to sleep. Wow. So be thankful. Maybe your home is not as beautiful as you'd like for it to be, not as comfortable, not as warm, but you've got a place to sleep. Number seven, I'm really thankful we have the Word of God. Try to figure out life without God's instructions. How do we get here, and what are we supposed to do, and certainly what's the best way to live, and what's going to happen after we die, and what a blessing to have the Word of God. And then I'm also thankful that we have a God who cares. He didn't just create us and like some pet owner just let us out to run on our own. No, He creates us, and He loves us. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And He cares more about us than we care about ourselves. Number nine, I'm so thankful that we have a Savior who died for us. None of us can save ourselves. We're all lost. We're all sinners. But Jesus died so that we can be saved from our sins. And then last of all, I'm so thankful we have the hope of a heavenly home. Can you imagine? Well, I don't know if I'm saved. You know, I'm on my deathbed. I hope I've been good enough. I hope I've done enough. It's not because of what you've done or how good you are. It's because Jesus died for you. And He went to prepare a place for you. And you can live with Him forever. Okay, we're going to try to encourage everyone, not just this Thanksgiving Day. Hopefully you'll have a wonderful meal somewhere with some people that you love. And you can make, before you eat, maybe go around the table and have everybody share something that you're thankful for. Just take a few minutes and do that. But hopefully you don't do that just once a year. Make it a practice in your lives. Practice gratitude daily, okay? We're going to pray now, and then we're going to stand and sing the song, Count Your Blessings. So let's pray. Dear God, we're so grateful to You for Your love for us, for Jesus' death on the cross so that we can call You our Father, so we can know that our sins are forgiven and our home in heaven is waiting for us. We pray, Father, that You'll touch our hearts, help us to be grateful for our daily bread, for the smallest things to the great things in our lives, for our family, for this church family, Father, for your word, for opportunities to serve you. And we pray, Father, that our thankfulness will not only bring happiness to others, but to those around us, and be contagious to where your name will be more and more glorified. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing. Tempest tossed.